things with a purpose, right? So you're not just like living life without a purpose. And she got to be part of this great project in a movie that's for bringing the light and shining the light on human trafficking. And the trailer just came out for that. So you can go on my Facebook page or Instagram and check that out. And the really cool thing, I love how God works. You know, well, I'll bring this into my message later, but she got to sing the trailer for this movie, which was such a cool thing, the theme song for this movie. And the director didn't even know that she sang and the way that it all came about. And so it's just cool how God is always moving on our behalf. But you guys look good. I tell you, when I'm in LA, I literally, Emma and I, we're trying to get a hold of Daddy, like right after service. We're like, he's not picking up the phone. We want to know how church was. He's not picking up the phone. I'm calling other people. I'm trying to call my son, Jack. Jack, how was church? He's like, I was in kids. I'm like, find Daddy. Tell him to call me. We're wondering how church was. Because even though we're in LA, our hearts are here with you because this is where God planted us. And let me tell you, we're praying for you. This whole 21 days of prayer thing has been amazing. We've been getting such great reports on, hey, I prayed this and God's doing this. And hey, look it, I needed this and God provided that. Or, oh my goodness, I didn't think God could like stretch out that far, but his hand actually went out that far and grabbed me. And I'm so thankful for that. So listen, prayer is the foundation that changes our lives. We can't come up with enough great things or work it up or muster it up enough in our life without prayer. Prayer is literally the foundation in which we stand on. It's that unmovable thing that doesn't shake. It's that thing that captures our heart and keeps us moving forward. And so thank you for participating in this 21 days because we are anticipating that God has amazing things. My husband just said there's more slots available. You can sign up right back there at the back of this service. And as you're leaving, and we had classes this morning. Amy Mills, thanks for teaching your amazing class. And we had a parenting class and our youth had a class this morning. Listen, if you are looking for classes before this service, you need to join us right over here in our classroom. There's signs. Your life will literally be changed. Be changed. But anyway, I'm just really, 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 really happy to be back. I was actually supposed to be back last weekend. And then, wouldn't you know, I, of course, had to go to Disneyland the day before I was supposed to come back. And I think I must have picked something up on a ride or something, you know. And I had a cold and I'm like, I can't drive that time. And I was supposed to preach last weekend, but I'm so glad I didn't preach because Maloof's word was amazing. And on part, thanks for preaching this whole series, babe, on the church we build, because that's you. That's not us. That's you. We as a collective community is the church that we are building and the church that's going to move the gospel forward. So thank you for being a part of that vision and that. And can I just say one more thing? Every Sunday we watch these really great announcement videos. And can I say thank you to the team led by Aaron who does all of that? Do you realize you're like, oh, it looks different this time. They're sitting on a couch in a different spot. That's because we had a massive leak and it literally destroyed the area that we do it. And we had to fix it. And on a fly, they're like, it's okay. They have the best attitudes. They're like, we'll just readjust. They're moving it over here and picking their stuff. So thank you for your team, Aaron, and all the time that you guys do to make all of this happen. All of the volunteers, really, that make church happen on a Sunday, from our kids to our media to the worship to the coffee to the hosts. Literally, this could not happen. Expression Church would not be what it is without you, the prayer team, all of the different facets that make Expression Church what she is. But listen, let's pray, and then we're just going to jump right into it. Father, we just thank you for such an amazing day. Wow. Thank you for the reprieve in the weather. That was really fun. And thank you that you have a word specific for us this morning. So Jesus, I thank you now. God, just settle our hearts and help us just put aside whatever the angst of the week was. And Lord, I thank you that you have something for us today specific. So God, we just open our hearts and minds to you and your truth and who you say we are. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to get some water here. You know when you take those allergy pills and all of a sudden it like sucks everything out of you, including the snot? Yeah, that's awesome. I titled this message today, Connect the Dots. And every time I get up here, you know, as you've heard me over the last few years, I like simple things. I'm kind of a simple person. I just live in the everyday to-day life. And I like to look from examples of things that I've been walking through personally. And so actually, when I was back in LA, Emma and I, our 16-year-old, we were having a conversation about life, as you do with your children. We were just talking about the grandness of life, the direction that life takes, and where you go and where you thought you'd be, and you're not there, so where are you in the middle time, and what is it going to look like 5 years from now? But, you know, I can look back, and that's where I was, but it doesn't seem like I've progressed very far. And so we were just talking about life, and she goes, you know, so we can thank Emma for this message. She goes, you know, Mom, life is like a giant connect the dot picture. And I was like, wow, you're so right. You know those connect the dot pictures where they go from like 1 to 1,000? I saw one where they went from like 1 to 6,000, got like a world record and created like the Mona Lisa in connect the dots. Crazy, crazy things. But you know, you start with 1 and then it goes to 2 and you go to 3 and 4. And when you first look at the page, you can't see. It's just a bunch of dots on a page with a tiny little number connected to it. And you're like, I don't even need glasses, but I feel like I need glasses for this whole project here that I'm going to have to find the 1 and the 2. And then they try to trick you and hide it like way across the other side of the page and you can't see it. And you're like searching, searching, searching. And so I was thinking about that in terms of life. Here we are when we're born. We are delivered with this giant page of dots that all have these numbers attached to it. And Emma and I were talking, and we were like, isn't it crazy how when life first starts in your journey, it feels so random. You're like 1 here, 2 here, 3 here, 4 here, 5 here, 6 here. And sometimes the dots are like really close together. You're like, nailed it. 1 to 2, perfect. And then from 3 to 4, you're like, I don't know. It's like from the bottom of the page all the way to the top of the page. And you're like, the line shakes as you like try to get up to your number. And you're like, where's my ruler? I wasn't prepared. You know, how did I know it was supposed to go here? And then you're like, now I can't even find 4. It's somewhere in the middle of 22 and 5,000. And I'm trying to find that one little dot. And you look at your life and you're like, wow, my life is like this giant picture of connect the dots, and I can't see the beginning from the end, which struck a conversation with Emma about, aren't you glad that God sees the beginning from the end? Aren't you glad that he's the one who put the dots on the page, and he's actually the one that tells you to go from 1 to 2 to 3? We try to complicate things. We're like, no, it just feels right to go from 4 to 25. It just feels right. I don't know. My husband does it all the time driving. He's like, randomly takes a right. And I'm like, where are you going? He goes, it just felt right to take a right, right at this moment. I'm like, the blue dot didn't even say take a right. What's happening in our life, you know? But he's like, it just felt right. So sometimes when we want to connect the dot, we're like, yes, 4 to 25. It seems like it's a shorter distance in that moment, because 5 is way the heck up there, and I don't really have my ruler, and I don't want to go that far up, so I'm just going to connect here. And all of a sudden, you know, the picture that was going to be created starts to look a little mumbled, jumbled, but thank God for grace. He can really, really easily erase things, and he throws it away. He goes, it's okay, I'm going to fill it in for you. Now you're at 25. You don't even have to do it yourself. That's what I love about God. But here's the thing. I just want to read, we're going to talk about a lady named Hannah this morning and talk about a couple scripture verses, and I'm going to give you a really easy way, because when Emma told me about connect the dots, I was like, this is like a life thing for everybody. If we could just remember that our journey is about God helping us connect the dots. So I'm going to give you a nice little thing that spells out dots. That way we can all remember. You'll go home, and when you're in the middle of a crisis or something, you'll be like, connect the dots, and you'll remember, and it'll all be smooth as we move forward. But I was reading these scriptures about connecting the dots. There are scriptures in the Bible about connecting the dots. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, God is striding ahead of you. it says it right there in there. Let's see. There it is. You see that? God is striding ahead of you. He is right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. Don't be intimidated. Don't worry. I was like, oh, he's already gone before me to connect 1 to 2. The other one is Deuteronomy 1:30. It says, God is leading the way, fighting for you. It says, don't be terrified. God, your God, is leading the way. He's fighting for you. And I was like, thank God. This giant picture of 6,000 dots I don't have to figure out by myself. God says he's striding in front of me, and he's leading and fighting and going before me. And the last one is Isaiah 52. You guys don't have this one. 52:12, it says, the Lord will go ahead, and God will protect you from behind. I'm like, isn't that beautiful? These are all connecting the dots. He's fighting for me, which is movement forward. He's leading the way, which is movement forward. And not only is he moving and leading the way, he's also protecting me from behind. So all of the dots that maybe I missed in the way, he's filling those in as we go. Which brings me to the story of Hannah. Hannah was a lady in the Bible. She was married to a man named Elkanah, and he had a couple wives, Hannah and another wife named Peninnah. And anyway, Peninnah, she could have children. Hannah couldn't. She was destroyed. And this Peninnah lady, like, let her know it. Like, had her under her thumb, was destroying her life, made fun of her, tortured her, all of these things. And her husband loved Hannah and felt sorry for Hannah and would always try to encourage Hannah and say things like, what? What's your problem? Aren't I better than, like, 100 children, 10 sons? Aren't I enough for you? Can you imagine? And she's like, well, yeah, but I kind of want children too, because, you know, there's also other things in life. And so here's this woman, and I'm sure as she started her life, she saw this picture and all these dots on this page and was like, this is going to be amazing. And now she's on, you know, dot 34, and she's like, wow, it's not looking like I had pictured this beautiful, you know, portrait to come into place. And now I don't have kids, and I'm being, like, abused by this other woman who's trying to put me down. And God, I'm being faithful. I go to the temple every year, and I cry out to you, and I haven't heard any answers, and I'm still barren, and I don't have kids, and I can't see the big picture, God. I can't see the big picture. But what I love about Hannah is she was just faithful to keep one step in front of another. She just kept going. She kept going to the temple. And one time she was at the temple, and she was like at the altar at the front, and she just told God, I'm not leaving. She was weeping, crying. She was like talking, like, but her mouth was moving, but no words were coming out. And the priest Eli, he came over and said, are you drunk? Like, what's wrong with you, woman? Like, why would you come here? Are you totally? She's like, really, I'm not. I'm just from my sorrow inside, I'm crying out to God. And he goes, well, don't worry, God's going to answer your prayer, basically. And so fast forward, Hannah said, great, God, if you answer my prayer, I'm going to dedicate my children, my child that you give me, to the house of God. And God blessed her. She had a son named Samuel. And this is what I love. So her picture of life looked a little crazy. And, you know, in terms, she was like, I don't know, this isn't going the way I thought it would. Now I have a kid. God, you answered my prayer, but oh, now you gave me a child. Now I have to give up that child. Like, can I have take backs on that, like, prayer? I'm just wondering, because that seems a little too big for me right now. And she ends up following through, and Samuel goes and lives at the temple and literally becomes one of the foremost amazing priests in line in the whole Jewish community and in Israel, and makes a mark that's going to change the course of Israel. Now, she couldn't see that in this jumbled picture of life currently. All she saw was this mess of a life and disappointment and failure, but then, oh, God answered my prayers, and then God actually continued to go on and answer prayers and gave her other children, so it was an amazing end to her story. And if I was Hannah, by the time my life was over, I'd probably look at this picture and be like, oh, that's what you were doing. I see it now. It's so beautiful how you knew I needed 63 to connect to 64 so that 64 could then connect to 65 and make that curve up of the picture like that. And so I'm sure as she was meeting Jesus, she was like, thank you for those dots that you figured out in my life when it looked jumbled. I'm so thankful for that. So in my own life right now, sometimes I feel like a little disjointed. Has anyone ever felt disjointed in life where you're like, I'm not quite sure where I am? And sometimes in my life right now, I feel that because we're here at in Austin at Expression Church, and then I have to switch places with my parents in LA, and I go to LA, and as many of you know, my mom's been fighting cancer, a diagnosis of cancer, and we're believing for her complete healing. So I got this thing going on over here, and Emma's thing going on over here, and then I got Jack, who calls me from LA. Hey, Mom, I got a choir concert, and it's at the high school, and somebody has to pick me up. I'm like, your daddy can't do it. You know anybody in your school yet, son? New school? I'm like, he's like, yeah, I asked a friend who's going to ask their mom if they can sign me out. I'm like, do we have a phone number for that mom? Or can I? He's like, no, it's okay. I got it. I'm like, oh, okay, Jesus, help me. You know, disjointed. Over here, there's some disjointedness happening. And then over here, there's just, and you know, 16-year-olds and their hormones. And you know, 1 minute, God is faithful all the time. And the next minute, oh God, when are we going to do, you know? And so we're going disjointedness. And then Ryan and I were like, God, we want the church to grow. Come on, God, we see such big potential for the church. But right now it seems like it's a really long time between .5 and .6. .5 and .6. We see 6 all the way up here, but we're in the middle somewhere between .5 and .6. And do we keep going? How do I continue to draw a straight line? Right? Life just happens and it gets a little disjointed. And that's the way that Hannah felt. And that's the way that sometimes, you know, in this season that personally I feel, you know, Ryan and I FaceTime each other for family dinners. You know, you create new things to happen. And you're like, God, you know, this is not necessarily how I would have connected the dots if it were up to me. Thank God it's not up to me, because his plans are always bigger. But as I was thinking about this, I'm just going to give you to the letters of dots these 4 little thoughts that have helped me in this season of trying to connect the dots in my life. The D. This is really simple. Do what he says. You know, sometimes in life we really try to overcomplicate things, because he tells us to do something and then we try to work every angle of what he tells us to do instead of just doing it. You know, because we're like, oh, but let me just think about this for a minute. If I do that, what you just asked me to do, I don't know. This could be a repercussion. That could be a repercussion. What if I took a right turn here? What if I didn't have my ruler to make that line straight and it kind of curved a little bit? That could be a big risk. But doing what he says, and we keep moving forward. James 1, 22 through 25, I think it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. And I was thinking, sometimes I think to myself, oh, no, God, I really am doing what you say. I'm patting myself on the back. I'm like, wow, look at us. Look at us. We obeyed you. We went to LA. We moved here to Austin to start a beautiful community called Expression Church. We're obeying you. We're raising our kids. And then like some little thing pops up and I'm like, oh, we're pulling back. We can't do that anymore. And Ryan and I have conversations all the time. We're like, did God change his mind? No. Did he say do something different? No. He still said, do what I said. And so we overcomplicate it, right? Because it's not always glamorous. Sometimes we think, oh, if I obey Jesus, it's going to be this beautiful, beautiful picture. It's going to be this wonderful thing, and life is going to be so easy because I said yes. I said, Jesus, you're in control. But we don't realize is that the glamour of it wanes, and he's just looking for our faithfulness. He's just looking for us to say yes. and yes again, and yes again, and yes again. And he's looking at us for faithful and be like, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you seeking? Are you finding community? Are you finding others who are going to build you up? Are you doing what I said? Are you reaching your neighbor? Are you encouraging someone? Simple things like that. And I think Hannah, in that time, can you imagine? She just wanted to do what Jesus said. And that's what she did in all of that time that she went to the temple without a son. It was not glamorous. She just kept showing up. And that's what I love about church. Sometimes you just gotta keep showing up. You show up and two connects to three. You show up and three connects to four. You show up and four connects to five. You show up and six to seven, seven to eight, eight to nine, and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, as you're showing up, you're like, oh, I see a flower forming. I think that might be a petal. Could it be, right? So that's the first one, D. Just do what he says. Here's the O. We overcome fear with faith. Sometimes we have, you know, we operate out of fear when we should be operating out of faith. So we have to learn how to overcome fear with faith. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid. Basically, I'm with you. I picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. Keep a firm grip on you. When I read that, I was like, oh, you've picked me? You haven't dropped me yet. That's a good sign. So you're telling me not to panic because you're with me? There's no need to fear because you're my God, and you said it's not my own strength I have to figure out how to get out of this. You're going to give me the strength to get out of it, and you're going to help me, and you're going to hold me steady and keep a firm grip on me. My word, people. Just that verse alone, if you started repeating that to yourself every day, you would replace fear with faith. Just that one simple verse, you woke up in the morning and started saying that, You picked me. You haven't dropped me yet. You're for me. You're steadfast. You got everything under control. I'm not going to be fearful today because you've replaced my fear with faith. So I'm moving forward. I'm literally going to draw from line 18 to 19 today because you've replaced fear. And if you think about it, Hannah, she had to do that when Jesus even, when God gave her son, right? Think about the moment where she had to realize, oh, I told God I was going to give my son back to the temple for honoring him to me. I now need to hold my promise and honor God. Fear with faith. She was like, her faith was bigger than her fear in that moment. Her faith stood up and said, no, this was a promise God gave me. Therefore, if I were to actually hang on to him, I would be stifling what God's purposes were for his life. I have to let him go. I have to let faith overcome my fear in this moment and watch what God does. And watching what Samuel did from a very young age literally changed history, right? So here we go. T. Connect the dot. D-O-T. Thankfulness. This, I think, is one of the biggest keys personally in my life when I'm trying to connect the dots and stay on course and not get overwhelmed and wonder, like, I really don't see how 825 is going to connect to 826 right now in this moment. Thankfulness. Can I just tell you, Em and I started doing this thing in LA where sometimes, you know, it's very strange in that world. You don't actually know what's going to happen from one day to the next, or sometimes even from 1 hour to the next. You'll just be going along, and all of a sudden you'll get an email, and she has to go do something. And we're like, oh, we didn't expect that. We had something else over here. Or we're wanting an email to come in, and nothing comes in, and you're like, in drought season, when are we going to have our next audition or thing or doing this or that? But thankfulness. We decided everything we do, we're going to be thankful. Because in thankfulness, you can make it from 2 to 3 875 to 876 because you're thankful along the way. So literally, Em and I, we wake up in the morning and we're like, oh, Jesus, we're so thankful for this giant window we have in our apartment right here. It looks out over a palm tree. I don't happen to have that in Austin. So I am super thankful for this. I'm so thankful that I live in a place where I can walk to go get a coffee. I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful that I was born and I live in America. I'm thankful that I don't live in an internment camp. I'm thankful that currently in this moment, I'm not out like in a genocide where people are being killed. I'm thankful that I have every comfort. I'm thankful that you have given me a house. I'm thankful that you've given me a family. I'm thankful you've given me a church. I'm thankful that you've given me friends. I'm thankful that I'm breathing right now. I'm thankful that maybe I don't feel 100%, but that you're my healer. I'm thankful that you've given me the Word of God. I'm thankful for your Holy Spirit. I mean, if you really started with the thankfulness, before you even knew it, you have gone from 875 to 876. And you're like, when did that happen? That was easy. It's thankfulness. Thankfulness from the bottom of your heart. Thankfulness. God, I'm thankful. And sometimes you get in a funk and you're like, I don't even know what I'm thankful about. All you have to do is look down and be like, oh, I'm wearing a shirt today. Oh, I'm thankful for this shirt. I have no clothes. That would be really unfortunate for everybody. Oh, I'm wearing, I have more than one pair of shoes. Oh, I can literally go to my refrigerator and get filtered water. Wow. I don't have to pull water out of a well and wonder if I'm going to die because of the bugs that are living in the water. I can go to a grocery store and buy bread and not bake it. For me, that's a big win. I am thankful for that. I can call up a restaurant and get takeout and not have to cook dinner. All these little things, right, that we just literally take for granted. But God says, no, no, thankfulness. And before you know it, you have moved from one point to another point. And maybe you thought that it was going to be a really long line because you're like, whoa, it's stretching a long season. I didn't know if I was in for this. But with thankfulness, that season seems to change and move. It does not negate the fact that you're sitting in a mess. It does not negate the fact that you are struggling with things and there's emotions and you're believing for things and standing for things and all of that. Thankfulness is not just this blind, I'm ignoring everything else, wishing it was not there, and only focusing on thankfulness. But what it does, it changes the posture of your heart. It changes the posture in which you approach the throne of God. It changes the posture in which you can talk to someone else. It changes the posture in which you can address whatever it is that's sitting in your room. And you can be like, you know what? I see you and I'm thankful for what's going to be on the other side of this. That's what I'm thankful for. Last one. S. This last one is called Stop It. The more you get to know me, I think it's really hysterical that God called me to be a pastor and love people and walk with people through different things in their life and stand with them and walk with them. Because to be honest with you, half the time, I mean, we've been doing this for 25 years now. I've really wanted to look at so many people and just say, stop it. Stop it. Stop whatever the going-ons are right now. Just stop it. Just say stop it. But I was thinking about this. Sometimes just saying stop it is not quite the answer people need to hear. But sometimes saying stop it to yourself to get yourself to move forward and find the next dot, right? Because we get caught up in something. And I just watched this video, actually, Joel Reif showed it to me. Bob Newhart. Old video from the 80s. You literally have to go watch it. He's like this counselor, and this lady comes in. It's like a funny sketch, and this lady comes in and sits at a table and is like, oh my gosh, I'm afraid of being buried alive. He's like, this is really easy. I have two words for you. This will be the shortest counseling session you have. Stop it. And she's like, how can I stop it? I'm like afraid of this. He's like, stop that too. And then he goes on and he's like, stop that too. And at the very end of the sketch, he's like, I'm going to bury you alive if you don't stop it. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's actually what I really want to say all the time. He just said it in a sketch. But really telling that to ourselves sometimes, right? Stop it. Come on. God's going to connect the dots. He's got this. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to not have fear, but faith. I'm going to have thankfulness, and I'm going to tell my brain, stop it. Sometimes you need people to come alongside of you because things are real. But someone to come along and say, we're going to help stop it together. Because right now you can't believe that it's actually going to stop and you're going to go to the next dot in your life, but I do. So I'm going to be saying, stop it to heaven for you. I'm going to be saying, stop it to those thought patterns in your head. I'm going to be saying, stop it to the doubt and fear that the enemy's tried to place on your life. I'm going to say, stop it to what the enemy's tried to rob and steal from your children. I'm going to say, stop it what he's trying to do in your workplace. I'm going to say, stop it. That's what I love about God. This doesn't just say, stop it like the sketch and then say, well, I'm going to bury you alive if you don't stop it. But he says, hey, stop it and focus on me. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Tell yourself to stop it with that. When those thoughts come through your head, when you have doubts and questions, you just say, stop it. I'm going back to what the Bible says. Can you throw that up there one more time? What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? God, help me. Help me to stop it. Help me to believe the best. Help me to find thankfulness in my heart. Help me to find, replace fear with faith. Help me do what God says. We want to connect the dots. And when Emma was explaining this picture of connecting the dots for me, I was like, out of the mouth of babes, right? God says, come to him like children. I was like, that is brilliant. I think every adult needs to hear about connect the dots, because we get so many filters on in our life that we can't even see the dots on the page anymore. And he wants to say, no, remember, I gave you this big sheet and we're going to go on this journey of life together. And by the time you finish, it's going to be a beautiful masterpiece, because I've already gone before you. Remember how we talked about he leads the way? He's our guard at our rear. He has everything for us. Nothing is impossible for him. He's always on our side. He's not going to drop us. He's not going to leave us broken on the side of the road. He literally is going to move us from 1 to 2 to 3, from 999 to 1,000 to 1,001, till we go and meet Jesus. And we're going to look back at this beautiful picture that isn't going to look like anyone else's. That's the beautiful thing. Your connect the dot page is different than my connect the dot page. That's what makes life beautiful. And we're all going to see these pictures and be like, oh, I see what he was drawing. That's amazing. I can't believe he chose that for me. I can't believe that was the picture he chose. I can't believe that that was my destiny. Wow, I'm so thankful that I trusted in God. I'm so thankful I let him help me connect the dots. I'm so thankful that I didn't try to do it all in my own strength and figure it out. I'm so thankful. So this morning, listen, I can probably pretty much guarantee the fact that there are areas in our life that we are wondering how those dots are going to connect, what that's going to look like, where the outcome is going to head, what's our next step. We can't really see. Maybe we can see the starting of a shape, but we're like, is that really the direction he's taking us? I just want to encourage you today that God is for you. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. It doesn't matter if you've messed up on 1,000 dots. He just goes behind you and says, oh, I have this giant eraser in the sky. I'll just fix that for you. It's his grace poured out on us. It's his mercy, getting what we don't deserve, because we serve a beautiful God. So could you stand with me this morning? I just want to give us all the opportunity to connect the dot. I want you to look, if you could just close your eyes right now. I just want you to look at this paper that's before you that has a whole bunch of little dots and numbers on it. And you might be thinking, I don't even, can't even find number 783 right now. I don't even know how I'm going to get to the next one. But God does. And he sees it. And he's not afraid, because he's on this journey with us of life. So this morning, with your hands just outstretched in front of you, if you need Jesus to help you right now in this moment, like I do every day of my life, practically every moment of my life, to help me find the next dot that I'm going towards, could you just raise your hand? Because I believe he's here and he wants to help you. Doesn't mean you're a failure. Doesn't mean you don't know what you're doing. It doesn't mean that you're confused. It doesn't mean that, oh, look at them. They are raising their hand because they can't find the silly next dot that's literally next to them right now. No. God sees it all. And the beautiful thing is that he's gone before us. He's leading the way. And when he leads the way, that means he's going to point you in the right direction to do what he says to do. So God, this morning, we, as a group, we just come before you and we ask you, God, to show us how to lean on you to connect the dots. God, such a simple thing in life. But God, my prayer is that as we move forward out of this place, that we would remember the picture of this simple message. And that we wouldn't be overwhelmed, because we wouldn't have to say, oh my God, how are we going to make it to the end? We just have to connect it to the next thing in life. God, thank you. We open ourselves up to you. And Lord, we trust you. Out of our mouths, we say we trust you. Out of our mouths, we say that you're for us. Out of our mouths, we say we thank you that you're the connection for us. God, out of our mouths, we want you to connect the dots. God, we as a collective group of people want to stand beside someone else who maybe can't find their next step and help them take a step, because you're always moving forward. That's what I love about connecting the dots. There's always a next number. You don't stay stagnant at 4. You have a 5. You have a 6. You have a 7. You're always constantly moving us forward on behalf of people. So God, we just trust you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're a miracle worker. You're the way maker. You know where we're going. You know where we've been. You have purpose for us. You have direction for us. God, and I just thank you that if there's anyone here who has never found you in their life, that this morning is your opportunity to meet a Jesus that will never leave you, to meet a Jesus that's always for you, to meet a Jesus that has a beautiful picture for you to finish with him. If that's you this morning, all you have to do is put your hand on your heart and say, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you that I don't have to walk this by myself. Thank you that you're showing me where to go. Thank you that I can walk with you and you can be the king of my life forever. Jesus, we trust you. As we sing this song with the worship team, I want you to think about these words. I chose it specifically for this message, because it's not about us being the way maker or the miracle maker. It's about him and his purposes and his plans that are always good for us. Join us as we sing this last song.